So eine Idee, so einen Film zu machen.
How did you get the idea to do a film like that? Well, it's not difficult to have an idea to make a film about the band, but the idea about guardian angels, you know, that's an idea I got in the process. So that's the story, you know. I got it on the bus when I was going to Rotterdam. Well, that was a solid script, 70 pages. Just a, you know, a script, like just like any other script. And upon that, we improvised a lot.
Well, it was quite frustrating for me because, you know, we knew that we have to shoot in May, it was 2001, we had to shoot in May and June because they were going on tour. And we knew that it would never happen again, you know, them going on tour together. And Peter had this idea to shoot a film about them. And it was October 2000, so he had like 7 months to prepare, I think, to get finances together. And was tough, but we made it somehow. That happened.
How easy was it to convince the musicians to play partly themselves and then partly a role, something that you had made up? And how much did they participate in those kind of made-up themes? Well, they almost didn't participate at all at creating the script. They said, we're going to obey whatever you want us to do. And they were not able to do some things, you know. The non-actors can do just one character, you know. They can't change as characters in the story. They remain the same characters all through the story. So when there's somebody that looks surprised, so you would always look surprised, you know. He can't be a bad character at the beginning and then be a hero at the end, you know. It's the truth about non-actors, and you have to accept it. So they didn't help me write it or think about it. They just obeyed. Yeah, the Dutch guy is the Dutch distributor, actually. No, he wouldn't distribute the film. It's too special for them. It's too weird film for Dutch distribution. So it wasn't a commercial trick. But I met him. We distributed my last film, Butteners, in Holland. I met him there as a clerk working in the office. I loved him so much that I used him in this film. And for him, it was really a challenge because he took 5 weeks off his work and came to Czech Republic for the first time in his life. And he's never been to Eastern Europe before. And he came in right into the middle of the filmmaking and film shooting. And the first day, his first day was hanging upside down, you know, the road. Because at the age of 50, yeah, eating fish and all that. So at the age of 52, it's quite nice, you know, that you decide that you really are going to do it. One of the girls, it's his daughter, the one he's interviewing before the gig.
Maybe it's ignorant, but is the band very well known in other countries out of Czechoslovakia, or the Czech Republic, I should say? And the other question is, did you want to create kind of a new genre, as the program says, a mockumentary? I mean, it's a good Ozenberg's tradition, like F as Fake.
Okay, the band is known a bit in Poland. It's well known in Slovakia and Czech Republic. Outside these three countries, no, I don't think so. Universal took them for the wider distribution, so the latest record will be distributed in Japan and somewhere in Europe, France, England, but not very widely, I think. And the new genre, I don't think this is a new genre. There's a fantastic Hungarian filmmaker called Ebolia Fekete, the lady, and she's doing the same things much better, I think. She did Bolshevita in 1996. She won Cottbus Film Festival in 1996 with Bolshevita. Then she made a film called Chico. She does the same thing. She uses real people in fiction situations, and you never know where the border is, and she's very good with that. And then there are also other examples of pure fiction, like this is The Spinal Tap, the American film from 1984.
well, this is pure fiction. I mean, at that case, the band didn't exist at all. Or Hardcore Logo, the Canadian film, where I think the band also didn't exist at all. But I would identify it with a Bogia Fekete.
I'd like to know, who is this English fellow? The English, is he really known? He looks like Kiss, member of Kiss.
What do you mean, the guy from Killing, just comment from Killing Joke? He's a split personality. He started out as a punk rocker, lead singer of a band called Killing Joke. They started out in 1979 when they were 20 or 21. And then he moved on and he started composing music for symphony orchestras. He was a composer in residence in Sydney. He deals with classical music and punk music. And now it's his more serious period, but I think Killing Joke are going on tour again next year, starting January 2003. I don't know whether you're familiar with that band. It was a band that inspired a lot of similar bands like Ministry.
These few gigs that Giacomo did together with Snowbeater, was that really just a one-time thing, or since they've been now extremely successful, also thanks to your film, I mean the CD is extremely well sold, I think, are they going to do it again, or was that really just a one-time thing?
It was just a one-time, because it was the second time, at 1 year they had 5 gigs, and that year when we filmed, they did like 20 gigs, and we filmed 5 of them. But they're not going to do it again, because for various reasons, financial reasons, for Navica it's too complicated technically to play with the band, because he otherwise would play with the guitar and all these sound systems, you know, it's too complicated for him, and he's too complicated for them mentally, you know, so they're not friends. I mean, they come across as friends, which is good from the film, but they're not friends. This is the biggest lie, you know. But Nohavica is a friend of Priha, that's true.
And are you friends with some of the musicians, or was it just a work relationship?
Yeah, I've known these two guys from Chicomore, the violin player and the guitarist. I've known them for a long time and we're friends. With Nohavica, we're acquaintances, I would say.
What did Kyle Priha think about becoming an angel in the film?
Well, that's the only part he would accept. I mean, both Nohavica and Priha wanted the story to be as fictional as possible. So when I told them that Priha is going to be his angel and that he's going to explode at the end, so he was really happy. Because then it's obvious that it's not Kara Priha, and it's a fiction part, and he wanted to have a fiction part. And he also works in real life as a sort of guardian angel of Nohavica. Nohavica is a guy that has no friends at all, you know, because he doesn't need any friends. He's that sort of person that's not very friendly, and somehow he doesn't need friends, you know. So there's just this Priha. And they even hate each other, you know, because they always dream about going on tour, you know, and going to Holland and going around Europe. And they spent like 3 hours together and they hate each other immediately. So they won't see each other for next couple of months, and then they dream again about a big tour, but they can't stand each other.